Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Now I want us to read Romans chapter 13 again tonight. We read it last week, but let's just go over the first 5 verses again this week. Romans 13, 1 to 5. And I can assure you folks that there's a connection between Daniel chapter 6 and Romans chapter 13. So here it is, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, or avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." So just to recap what we mentioned last week, first of all, authority is delegated. According to Romans chapter 13, all authority is delegated. Whether it's authority that civil government, civil magistrates have, or whether it's authority that church governments and church leaderships have, or whether it's in the family authority, the authority of the father in the home, the authority is delegated from God to the particular individuals. You see, we've just read that there in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So all authority is delegated. And it would serve those in authority well if they remembered that, the powers that be, if they would remember that their authority is from God. They don't have authority in themselves to use it and to abuse it, but it has been delegated to them from the highest authority of all, the ultimate power, and that's God himself. So authority is delegated. Secondly, you remember we said authority is limited. Again, whether it's civil government, church government, or family government, the authority is always limited. There is no such thing in our world, folks, as unlimited authority. Authority is limited. verses 3 and 4. If we just go back and look at them. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So authority is limited. There are limitation clauses. Remember, we used that phrase last week, limitation clauses. And whenever someone in authority turns from being a ruler to being a tyrant, in other words, they make bad laws, laws that are contrary to the word of God, then we are under no obligation to render obedience to them. Because authority is limited, and there are limitation clauses that so often people forget. And in fact, very often in churches, a lot of churches seem to forget it too. And they just say, oh, we must do whatever the government decide. And just that's the end of the story. That is not what the Bible teaches. You see, folks, whenever you're interpreting Scripture, whenever you're trying to understand Scripture, you must use good hermeneutics. Now, I know that's a big word, but it just means that you must interpret Scripture in the right way. The way to interpret Scripture is with other Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. That's a phrase that we need to remember as we try to understand God's word. Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture with a capital S interprets Scripture with a small s. What do I mean? Well, whenever you've got a Bible verse, you can't just take it out of context and place it in a vacuum and put an interpretation upon it. No, you've got to look at what the whole Bible says. That's Scripture with the big S, the whole Bible. And Scripture with the big S, the whole of God's word, interprets that individual Bible verse that you're trying to understand. Okay, so sadly there are churches and preachers, ministers, clergymen who will say, well, all Romans 13 tells us and teaches that we must obey the government come what may. Well, they're taking the passage out of context. They're not interpreting Scripture with Scripture. They're not looking at the big picture, the bigger picture. What does the whole of the Bible teach? What is the consistent teaching of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation on this subject? That's how you interpret Scripture. So we can't just say, well, according to Romans 13, you know, we must render unlimited obedience to the powers that be. No, we've got to look at the whole Bible. What does the whole Bible from start to finish have to say on this subject? That's why tonight and over the weeks ahead, I'd like us to look at different characters in the Bible who, I suppose if I can put it this way, they kind of throw light on Romans 13 and help us to understand these verses that Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written down for us. And you know the man we're going to think about tonight for a few moments, and that's Daniel. We've been singing about Daniel already. And we're going to think about Daniel for a few moments. Dare to be a Daniel. We could give tonight's study that title, Dare to be a Daniel. You see, Daniel lived at a time whenever there was a king called Darius on the throne. And the problem with King Darius was that he failed to live up to Romans chapter 13, to the standards of Romans chapter 13. We have already read tonight, and we read it last Thursday night, how that rulers are to be a terror to evil works, not good works. Okay, that's the proper definition of a ruler. But the problem with King Darius was that he wasn't a ruler, he was a tyrant. Because rather than being a terror to evil works, he was actually a terror to good works. You see, we've read tonight how he made a law that nobody was allowed to pray to anybody but him for a month. Couldn't pray to any god, and so that included Daniel. He couldn't pray to Jehovah for 30 days. That is what you call a tyrant. And Daniel was under no obligation whatsoever to obey this law. As I've already said, Darius had become a terror to good works. So he was no longer worthy of obedience. He ought to have been a terror to evildoers, but he had now become a terror to the people of God because he was telling them not to pray. Dare to be a Daniel? Well, Daniel dared to take a stand. We'll sing it later on, that hymn in our hymn book. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Well, Daniel did take a stand. He did have a purpose firm. Let's just focus on it for a wee minute or two before we get down to prayer. What way did Daniel respond to this evil law that King Darius had made? Well, first of all, he knew about the law. Daniel heard about the law that had come down from the throne. He was well aware of it. Question I pose to you there is, how did he respond? Did he say, oh, here's a bad law, but we must obey the government at all times, regardless, so I just have to obey it? Is that how Daniel responded? Not a bit of it. This is how he responded. He went back home to his presidential palace, and his windows were open. Now, I want you to notice, folks, according to Daniel chapter 6, it doesn't say that he opened his windows. That's not what our text, verse 10, tells us. It doesn't say that Daniel, whenever he heard of this unjust law, he went home and his windows were shut, so he opened them. No, his windows were already open. They had been open, so he didn't have to open them. What's the point? I'll tell you, folks, what the point is. Daniel wasn't ashamed of the Lord. You see, his practice up until this point had been that whenever he was praying in his home, his windows would be open. He would keep the windows open so that people would see him. Not that he was like the Pharisees, that he wanted attention, no, but he wanted people to see that he loved the Lord. And he was prepared to spend time with the Lord. He wasn't ashamed of his God. Don't we love that hymn? I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. We often sing it. Daniel could well have sung that hymn if it had been around in his time. Boy, I can just hear Daniel belting it out. He wasn't ashamed to own his Lord. His windows were open. Everybody could see him. His enemies could see him. But he wasn't bothered about that. He was made of tough stuff, just like his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, here's something else. He knelt down. So not only did he go home and defy this unjust law of the king, but he makes sure that his windows are still open so that everybody can see him as he defies the law. And then he kneels down. Why did he kneel down? Well, so that there be no confusion as to what he was doing. He wanted everybody to know he was praying. Ah, but Daniel, the government have said you can't do that. Do you not know the law now, Daniel? It's regulation now, Daniel. It's legislation. You're not allowed to do that. Well, boy, I can just imagine Daniel turning round and saying, well, I take my orders from the highest authority, from the Lord. And the Lord says that I'm to pray to him according to Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon, three times a day. And that's exactly what I will do. And no tyrant is going to cause me to disobey the Lord's command. So you can just picture him here kneeling down. And he was making it obvious to all and sundry that he was praying. He's a courageous man, isn't he? And then, just for good measure, he did it three times a day. I believe he was following Psalm 55 that tells us, it speaks there of praying three times a day. But Daniel did it three times a day, folks, because he was a thankful man. He was a man whose heart was filled with thankfulness. And he just loved to pray, and he just loved to get down before the Lord and to thank the Lord for all his goodness, for all that he had done for him. The wee chorus gets it right, doesn't it? Daniel was a man of prayer. He defied King Darius. He would not comply with his unjust law. He didn't go along to get along. No, his attitude was, we ought to obey God rather than men. It would have been very easy for Daniel to have said, well, it's just for a month. Oh, sure, in that case, I'll just lie low for the month and then I'll start to pray again. But he didn't do that. You see, he wasn't a coward. He was courageous. He could have said, well, I'll go home and I'll still pray, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll shut the windows. Or I'll just pray once a day instead of three times a day. There were so many things that he could have done to try to avoid persecution and punishment. But here was a man who loved Jehovah so much that he was prepared for the persecution and the punishment. In fact, he was prepared for the den of lions. Quite a challenge to us, isn't it? This man of prayer. So that's Daniel. Next week, God willing, I'm saying it more and more these days than ever, folks, if the Lord spares and tarries, because, you know, with all that's happening in the world, you really have to say, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We might not even be back here next Thursday. It'd be wonderful if we weren't, if the Lord had come and the trumpet had sounded. But if, in the mercy and sovereignty of God, we are back next Thursday, we're going to go to the New Testament and we're going to look at Paul the Apostle and how he defied the authorities. Now, this is the very man who wrote Romans 13. About being subject to rulers. So that should be interesting. So you pray God will help us as we prepare for that. And that he'll bless us as we look at that next Thursday evening.